Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger Speaker. Today we will continue studying in the past subjects of the broadcast, the Christian walk, and we wish to continue with it today, and we will take up the walk in honesty. We've already considered walk in newness of life, a whole new sphere, walk in faith, a whole new principle, walk in love, a whole new attitude, and of course, the walk is the Christian life. It's not very exciting to walk. It's more exciting to run and to soar, to worship and to serve. But the Christian life is where we spend most of our time. And it is so valuable and can be of such glory to God. And then walk in consistency, one new standard for all. Walk in the light, a new fellowship. Walk in honesty, a new hope provoking practical righteousness. Now that new hope is the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it provokes, or promotes rather, perhaps is a better word, practical righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to rapture his church out of this world in a moment of time. We'll be reading that in more detail in 1 Thessalonians in a few moments. But we're going to be taken into his presence. This should have a salutary effect in our lives. It should make us conscious of the fact that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, the first event that will take place after that in heaven will be the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged there for our life down here on earth, preparatory to our place in the kingdom when he comes to reign on this earth in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall reign with him. Now, if we have that hope, it's going to promote personal righteousness, practical righteousness in our lives. I remember once of seeing a motto in a Christian home. And the motto went like this: do nothing that you would not like to be doing when Jesus comes. Say nothing that you would not like to be saying when Jesus comes. Think nothing that you would not like to be thinking when Jesus comes, because we're going to be taken into account, and it provokes practical righteousness. In Romans chapter 13, this is borne out by the Apostle Paul in such a wonderful way. He says in verse 12 of that 13th chapter of Romans, the night is far spent. That is the night of his absence. He's in heaven now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And he's speaking of the millennial day. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, in view of the fact of his coming. That's what Paul is teaching these Romans. And then in the next verse we read, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, those things that are done in the night, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now the putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ is the putting on of his character, his life characterizing our life in view of the fact that he's coming. The night is far spent, Paul tells these Romans. The day is at hand. Be careful of what you're doing. It has that practical effect of bringing us up short. And certainly, honesty in the light of the Lord's coming will produce that. We should be conscious of the fact that the Lord sees what we are doing. The Lord's character should be reflected in us, and he is going to reward us for that honesty and for that, well, and for that honesty of character and for the righteousness that becomes it in that coming day. Now, Paul speaks of this in regard to rewarding our righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And that righteousness is in view of the coming of the Lord. Let's read the verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And Paul says there, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, the day of his coming, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now the Apostle Paul here says this crown is not exclusively mine, but he says, I'm sure I'm going to get it. Notice how positive he is in what he has to say. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. When is he going to get it? At the judgment seat of Christ, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now notice, please, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. If you love his appearing, your life will conform to that blessed hope. Loving his appearing is loving the Lord in himself, pleasing him. If you love his appearing, it's because you love him, and it's because you're trying to please him. Think, if you will, please, of sweethearts that are separated by distance and by time. What are they thinking about? They're thinking about their beloved, and it has a very salutary effect on their deportment. They behave properly. They think of being faithful to that one that they, from whom they have separated, and it has an effect in their life. They're going to see them soon. And so it is with the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm going to get a crown of righteousness, but not to me only. This is for you and for me, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now that crown of righteousness is consistent with the honesty that becomes us in this day right now where we're living down here for him. Now, we should live an honest life because we're under the scrutiny of the unredeemed. Paul gives another admonition, and of this I was speaking a few moments ago, that we were going to expound a little bit later. Now notice what he says in the 1 Thessalonians epistle, chapter 4, verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that's the unredeemed, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And then what does Paul take up? He takes up immediately after this honesty, the coming again of our Lord Jesus. Listen to these words. I think this is a familiar portion of Scripture. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Jesus, those that have died without being raptured, already in heaven, their spirits and their souls, but their bodies down here, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this honest life that we live and the coming of the Lord is again linked here in Thessalonians, just as it was in the 13th chapter of Romans. Now, let's think about this being under the scrutiny of the unredeemed. Our honesty should be consistent and should be all-inclusive. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, Paul writes there, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is a consistent way of life. Honesty is indeed the best policy. That is a tried and a true saying. Honesty is the best policy. And let's think of honesty because it's the best policy for you and for me. Let's be selfish about this. Let's think of our own equanimity. our own calmness, our own satisfaction of soul. Isn't there a reward in being honest with people? And isn't there a penalty for not being honest with people? It has been well said that the liar's punishment is that he will not be believed when he's telling the truth. And that's punishment. We like to have acceptance with people. We like to have them believe in us, and we like to have them attribute some character to us. And certainly the unsaved, the unredeemed, are looking for flaws in the Christian life. I think probably the only consolation that we can give to them is when we fail. And then there we'll be able to say, you see, I told you there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. But with our lives and with our honesty and with our straightforwardness, we do merit the respect of those dear unredeemed people, and perhaps it will have an influence in bringing them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Honesty indeed is the best policy, and honesty will make friends. You like to be friends with people that you know where you stand, and to be absolutely honest that they don't put on any airs with you. They're just as straightforward as they can be, and you know that makes friends. When people can trust you and know that you will tell them the truth, that you will not misrepresent, you will not be a hypocrite in their presence, you will not put on pretenses, it has the effect of giving confidence in you. And every Christian should be interested in garnering, or rather deserving is the better word, the good respect of other people. I think of a man that had a wonderful testimony. He was a farmer, and he brought in his grain to the elevator, and this grain had some government restrictions on it. And there were many, many trucks lined up ahead of him, but the men ahead of him did not bring their papers, and the elevator director says, I cannot unload your grain unless I've got that signed paper, the government paper. And so he sent them back home for the paper. And then the man that of whom I'm speaking, the Christian, came up and he says, look, I forgot my paper too, but I'll tell you this. I'll promise you that I'll go home and get that paper and bring it right back up here. And so the man says, all right, go ahead and empty your load. And then the people that were standing around and saw what had happened said, how come you let him do that? And do you know what that man said, the elevator director and operator? He says, that man's word is better than your signature. Isn't that wonderful to have a reputation like that, to be friends and to deserve their friendship? It may be a means of leading them to Christ. They may want what we've got in the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we ask you today to bless the words that we have spoken, and help us to really earn the respect of those around us, so they'll want our Savior too. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.